Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Later this afternoon, I'll be walking. I knew I shouldn't have started that way. My oldest daughter down the aisle, giving her hand in marriage. And as we all know, preparing for a wedding is challenging and costly. Over the past year, I've watched Ashley carefully and diligently prepare for this day that she's looked forward to with great hope and expectation. And this morning, it appears everything's in place. The venue and the caterer, the music and the photographer, the flowers and the rings, everything and everybody is ready. Perhaps most of all, the bride. The bride has made herself ready. As her father, I've seen firsthand the hard work, the attention to detail. And last night at the rehearsal, a person couldn't help but notice the way everybody was going all out to make this day a beautiful celebration of what Scripture describes as a moment when two become one flesh. The biblical definition of marriage as a divine ordinance instituted by God in which one man and one woman become one flesh reveals the intimacy of the union between the husband and wife. As Adam said of Eve, she is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. However, in our quickly changing post-Christian culture, marriage has become something entirely different than what we find in the Bible. God defines marriage as a sacramental union in which your spouse becomes your own flesh and bone. But the way God defines the divine ordinance that he instituted is no longer the popular definition of marriage. So before we go any further, we need to agree on a definition. We need to agree that the word marriage to God and to the Christian means infinitely more than what we're used to seeing on movies or in television or in society. The only way for us to recognize the importance of the passages we will consider today, the only way for us to find any real comfort and assurance in these words, is to understand and agree that when God speaks of marriage, it is to be understood as two persons who are united so intimately, it's as if they are one person, one soul, one flesh. So with that definition in mind, throughout the New Testament, we find many vivid images of the intimate relationship that exists between our Savior Christ and his church. You may remember the way Jesus spoke of the intimate bond that he shares with those who follow him by saying to his disciples, "Abide in me, and I in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. St. Paul was inspired to describe our union with the Lord by speaking of the church as a body and Christ as its head. An image which prompted Augustine to conclude, if he is the head and we are the body, then he and we together are the whole man. These are beautiful images which describe the intimacy of our relationship with the Lord. Yet the image that's used time and again throughout the Bible is one of Christ as the bridegroom and his church as his holy, radiant, and spotless bride. This way of describing our relationship with the Lord was prepared by Old Testament prophets and announced by John the Baptist, a man who described himself as the friend of the bridegroom, the friend who was, to use his own words, overjoyed to hear the bridegroom's voice. In the Gospels, we also hear Jesus refer to himself as the bridegroom. When the people ask Jesus why his disciples don't fast the way others do, Jesus responds, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? As long as he is with them, they cannot fast. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast." Christ is the vine. We are the branches. Christ is the head. We are the body. Christ is the bridegroom, and we are called to be his holy, radiant, and spotless bride. These passages reveal the truth that the church is truly and intimately one with our Lord and God. You see, we don't simply gather around him. We are united to him as branches on a vine, as members of one body, even as a bride is united to her groom, two who become one flesh. It's in the book of Revelation that this image of the church as a bride promised to her groom culminates in what St. John describes as a triumphant day, a glorious day when Christ, the Lamb of God, and his church will rejoice in a heavenly celebration. St. John writes about that day, saying, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. She was given clothing of fine linen, bright and pure." As I've watched Ashley carefully and diligently prepare for her wedding day, I've often thought of those words and the importance of our role as the church in making ourselves ready for the day that the Bible refers to as the marriage supper of the Lamb. John's inspired words regarding that day, telling us that Christ's bride has made herself ready. She was given clothing of fine linen, bright and pure, are a beautiful, clear description that we, as the church, make ourselves ready by clothing ourselves in what the Lord has so generously and so graciously given to us, his own righteousness. As the prophet Isaiah foretold, saying, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." Our Lord clothes and covers us with the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness, to the end that we may be his holy, radiant, and spotless bride. These gracious gifts that come from God are truly ours. They belong to us. But we must always remember that they never would have been ours if it were not for him. For without him, we can do nothing. Do you see how that truth relates to this image of Christ as the vine and his people as the branches, or Christ as the head and his church as the body? Branches grow, reach out, and bear fruit. They do these things, but they rely completely on the vine to do so. Hands reach out, feet move, but they only do so when they have a head to guide them. And so it is in our union with Christ. We do what we can with the gifts and the abilities that he gives us. And then we trust God to do what we cannot. There is truly a divine human partnership, a partnership between God and man when we choose to live as the people of God. We see it throughout the Bible. Consider the examples. Noah built the ark, and God sent the flood. Moses confronted Pharaoh, and God sent the plagues. David faced Goliath, and God delivered him into his hands. Daniel prayed in the lion's den, and God shut their mouths. Peter preached on Pentecost, and God saved 3,000 souls. We cried out for forgiveness, and God gave the life of his only son. By God's grace, we do what we can, and then trust God to do what we cannot. This is what it's like to live in union with Christ, to be a branch on the one true vine, to be a member of his body, to become one flesh with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The God who loves us and saved us has called us to be his holy, radiant, and spotless bride. And when you consider the way God defines marriage, that truth becomes the foundation of a peace that passes all understanding. May we rest in that blessed assurance. And as a bride promised to her groom, may we carefully and diligently make ourselves ready by working and praying and giving to further his kingdom, all the while remembering that our worth to the bridegroom who loves us and gave himself for us will never be found in all we do for him, but in who we are to him, his holy, radiant, and spotless bride. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen.